Music faded, and my wife said, "It's you, baby." It's like, and that's what she said. I'm next. I want to say thanks to Casey. He's not here, but it's always good to have Casey to step in, and I know he does a great job preaching last week while I was in New Mexico and in Colorado, and I'm going to show you some pictures, not all of them, trust me, just about 15 of them, tell you about why, you know, with when you have a digital, whether it's a camera or a phone, like, who here doesn't know what film is? There's probably some people that you never really dealt with film. I mean, there's some of you you didn't. So you couldn't just take as many pictures as you want. Now, you can't even see. You just click, 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 click. I'll get a good one out later. But I'll just show you a few of them this morning. But we're starting a new series today. And when our creative team got together, they give ideas about things that we think that would be good to cover. And one of the ideas that came up was having a takeaway each week of something that we can do. Now, don't worry, we're not talking about a gospel of works. And we're going to cover it theologically, cover it pretty much from every angle throughout the series. But remember that old expression, the road to hell, paved with good intentions. Try this one at work. Try not doing the things that you're supposed to do at work and then telling your boss, it's like, but I really meant to. No, I really meant to. You might get away with that once. Dennis Prager has this thing where he says that most people, other than your spouse and maybe your parents, don't care about how you feel. Maybe your therapist cares about how you feel. That's a good question to ask. It's a good thing to open things up. But most of us are known by what we do and how we do them. As a matter of fact, I want to start by making the point that God cares about what we do. He cares about how you feel. But let me suggest something else to you, that after we do good things, we feel better. I'll talk a little bit more about that. But most people aren't concerned about your feelings. Your boss most of the time isn't concerned about your feelings. They're concerned that you get done what you're supposed to get done. Let's take a moment and pray. Father, help us to understand this relationship between what we do and the grace that you give us. That our salvation is certainly not earned, but you have great things for us to do. Because you want us to have the joy of walking in your footsteps. I pray that you'd help me communicate the things you've put on my heart this morning. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you at the outset that I just got back last night from a hiking trip. I got the photos to Joe. Joe did a great job getting him into the computer. Russ got some of the photos in there. Kathy's running tech this morning, and we really think it's going to work. And if it doesn't, it's my fault. It's not anybody else's because I got stuff in. But when I'm on my hiking trip this last week, and many of you asked how it was, it just always seems to happen when I'm on a trip that I feel God's impressing things upon me. And so it usually shifts the message somewhat. Let's start with 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And I do want to ask this question, and not to answer out loud, but I know, do you wrestle with kind of the relationship between do I do enough? And let me just say this. Church should be the guilt-free zone. We're not trying to guilt anyone. The things that God wants us to do are born out of love, and they're born out of gratitude for what he's already done for us. Let's emphasize just a few things that I was kind of thinking about when I was hiking this last week. It says, all scripture is God-breathed. I love that. God-breathed. Now, the writers that wrote it, they had an idea what they were doing. They weren't in a trance with a pen in their hand. Often they were narrating it to somebody else, but it was birthed from the heart of God. And it's something that we take a step of faith at a certain point in our Christian walk, and we say, I believe what Scripture has to say is inspired by God. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting. We don't like those things, but put it this way. If your life's heading in the wrong direction, it's a pretty kind thing for someone to tell you you're about to go over a cliff. Like if you're hiking, that's not really a nasty thing to say to someone, be careful, you're about to fall over a cliff. That's a good thing. And that's, I think, what it's saying here. Scripture is good at that. And then it says training in righteousness. So I have to say this, that when on our hiking trip the first day, we started in Albuquerque. My nephew lives there, and I went with my friend Craig from here and my nephew Justin. So Craig and I flew out to Albuquerque, spent the night there, and then we drove up through Santa Fe, through Taos, and north of there, there's a national forest. And just as we were getting there, the clouds were rolling in, the mist was in the air. And if you could put up, I've got a couple of images here. So that's not what I normally picture for New Mexico. But that's my nephew. You can see the poncho. When we first started out the hike, and you just leave that image up for a little bit. When we first started the hike, I said to the guys, I really appreciate being with you guys, because you guys are hikers. And they're like, yeah, we get that. Because most people at this point would be, it's raining, it's not the best day, let's go do something else. And my nephew looked at me like, what, go see a movie? It's like, we're here to hike. What am I saying? Because we're hikers, that's what we do. We've been trained in hiking. That's why we went there. And I think that's what this training in righteousness is, that there becomes sort of a muscle memory, that after a while, that kindness becomes our default mode. And we need to be renewed in that. But that really struck me. Now, the other thing about this hike was, as it rained, it got really muddy. And then you've got rocks and roots and things like that. And the next image is of my shoes. Now, they've dried out at this point. There's a couple of holes in them. And I placed these in a waste container in Colorado yesterday. I'm not using them anymore. But that first hike, like, we were sliding sideways, and you had to be careful not to go down. I used my hiking stick. It was dangerous. But, you know, to do the things that God wants us to do, we've got to persevere sometimes. Some of you are going through a lot more difficult things than a hike on a rainy day with a poncho on. And I want to encourage you that there's better days ahead. And I believe that's one of the things that God wants to say to some folks here today in a number of different ways, that there are better days ahead. Let's go back to the passage of Scripture. I'm going to read the rest of that. Training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God has good stuff for us to do. I put it this way, that Jesus isn't present here physically on earth, but he's given us his heart and he's given us his DNA. He's given us his spirit. And there are things that if he was here, he would do. Do you ever look at a situation and you're dying to get into it because you're like, I know what needs to be done there. That person needs some encouragement. This person needs some of this. I think that's how Jesus is all the time. He sees the needs that are in a room. I was talking to somebody who was at a party recently, and they just saw how someone is being treated, and so they went out of their way to be kind to the person. Not that people were being rude, but they were kind of being ignored. That's Jesus expressing himself through us in a simple, simple little way. Now let's move ahead to Romans chapter 2. In Romans chapter 2, I love this verse. How many of you remember, well, first she was Leslie Phillips, and then she became Sam Phillips. Anybody remember Leslie Phillips? Sam Phillips. Yeah, I see a couple hands, yes. Well, I was a youth pastor way back in the day, and I heard her. It was over at Holiday Inn by Hillside, and it was a promotion for Christian music, but she was there, and she played this song. It's Your Kindness That Leads Us to Repentance. It's a beautiful song. We adapted it for youth group, and we did it there. She adapted this verse to the song, but here's what it says. Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? In other words, sometimes God is so nice to us, we just think, I guess he's cool with this thing that I'm doing. And God's like, no, I'm not cool with that thing that you're doing. There's a better way for you. But it's his kindness that's intended to lead us to turning. And that's what God really wants in our life, is for us to turn away from the things that are dead and turn towards the things that are alive. But just because he's patient, don't mistake that for thinking that God doesn't care. Let's move ahead. Verse 6. God will repay each person according to their feelings. No, it doesn't say that. God will repay each person according to the things that they intended to do. No. According to what they have done. What we do really, really matters. And trust me, I'll make it clear, it's not how we get saved, but it is the fruit of our salvation. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. Now let's just put a comma in it right there. So the next day, we went on another hike. We went to Great Sand Dunes National Park. And I had a friend tell me, it's awesome. It's awesome. Well, I think you've got an image there. We'll go to the first image. So that's this, you can't tell, but it's the largest sand dune in North America. It's huge. It's monstrous. And so I was at the visitor center. We get our maps and everything, get our water filled up, because we're going to go on some serious hikes. When I'm sitting outside, like three mosquitoes are biting my calf. Now, I don't get mosquito bites. I don't know why. Ever since 1984, they bite me, but I get no reaction. I kill them so they don't get anybody else, but I don't get any reaction. So I went back inside because I'd seen some, they had some bug spray, some citronella-based stuff. So we all covered ourselves with that, and we went off on this hike. I've never encountered mosquitoes like that in my entire life. Never. At about 8,000 feet, you start the hike, and you're just being swarmed with mosquitoes. I take my hat off and just like, I mean, afraid we're going to swallow them. They're going to go in our eyes, our nose. And at 8,000 feet, just walking, I'm losing my breath. But now that I'm flailing with my arms like some Seinfeld character or something. And one of the things you like to do on a hike is occasionally stop, get a drink of water or something. And you always want to stop in the shade. You didn't dare stop in the shade because mosquitoes like the shade better than the sun. But this went on mile after mile. We got a few nice patches, and then it started getting really rough again. And then at the edge of the national park, we're in now state land, we run into these guys that are on motorcycles and on this ATV. They're not supposed to be there. Well, they start talking to us, and they had kind of a country drawl. And while they're talking to us, I look down at my legs. They were covered with mosquitoes, just covered. And as he suggested, I heard Listerine works pretty good. I'm like, I don't have any Listerine right now, and I want to stop talking to you because can't you see my legs aren't normally that furry? Those are mosquitoes, okay? So we got out of there, and on the way back down, we ran into the same thing. It was just unbelievable. Never experienced mosquitoes like that. Now, I didn't get any bites out of it, but I lost about a pint of blood. My buddies, my nephew and my friend Craig, their legs were just covered with mosquito bites, just covered. It's terrible. So we get done there, and then we go to find a picnic area that we think won't be near any sitting water. We sit down at a table. A ranger pulls up and says, do you have a camping permit? It's like, it's a camping area. I said, no, we don't. I swear he said, well, you can't eat here. You have to eat down there, pretty close to the standing water. You can't eat here because you might choke. We looked at each other, what? I don't know what that has to do with anything, but he's the authority, so we got in our car. We actually found another area. We sat in the car with the air conditioning on, and I was afraid I was going to get busted for eating a sandwich in the wrong place in the national park. That afternoon, we go out on a second hike, and you can pull up the next image. This time, we went hiking on dunes, okay? So you've been to, like, the dunes in Indiana or Michigan. Like, your legs get kind of tired walking in the sand, right? I don't know what we were thinking. We did a four-mile hike in that. The next day, like I had muscles were hurting in places I didn't even know I had places. So I rate national parks. I have, I think now, 8 Cadillacs. Great Sand Dunes is an Edsel. I would never go back there in summer, other than the mosquitoes. It's kind of cool. Now, why do I share all of that? I love what it says in Romans, through persistence in doing good. If we can go back to the Romans passage. Through persistence in doing good, we show what we seek. I really believe that ultimately we get what we look for in life. It says that those who by persistence in doing good, they seek glory, honor, and immortality. God will give eternal life. Actually, we don't even have to go on to verse 8. I'm going to skip over that. What are you looking for in life? See, we had a chance to just kind of give up at that point. I mean, can you imagine Craig and Justin just be like, well, that's it. We're done with hiking. First we're on a mudslide, then mosquitoes, and then the sand dunes. No, we decided to persist. And because we did, we ran into a lot of other stuff that I think was really cool. And I'm going to share some of that with you. So if you can put up the next image. We went to Black Canyon of the Gunnison National Park, which was awesome. We were able to hike both rims, the North Rim and the South Rim. And then we made it to Rocky Mountain National Park. And I hadn't been there in 24 years, and I've done a lot of hiking since. And I was there for about 10 minutes when the memory started coming back, and I'm like, it's a Cadillac. And when I say a Cadillac, it means it's just pretty much you can look anywhere you want, and it's a postcard. There's wildlife. We saw some elk. We saw this elk. I'll show you a picture in a little bit. It's got this rack on the thing like this, and they look so furry. I just wanted to go over, and I didn't. I didn't go over and feel the antlers. But this right here, and you're going to have a hard time being able to see it, but we went on a hike in Rocky Mountain National Park. And I was challenged to get to that point because there's one point where we had to go through, there's sort of these logs that seem like they're floating in water and I don't have good balance. But I got through that. And then I got across about four snowfields that were pretty steep. And I never went down. I was so pleased I never went down. But up there in that saddle, you can't see it that well. But it looks like there's some snow in that dark area. It's actually water. It's a waterfall. And if you could look closely enough, you would see Craig and Justin. They climbed the waterfall. You put your hands and feet on these wet rocks and you climb up. A lot of people were doing it. There was one young couple that not only took their children, they carried their five-year-old daughter. I was with the grandmother of the girl at that place that I wasn't going any further than, where I ate my sandwich. She handed her daughter over her head to her husband, who was reaching down, and this is only like a third of it. There's far more that they had to scale, and they've done it before. I'm sure they're okay. When Craig and Justin got back, because I waited there for about an hour, and they thanked me for waiting for them. And as I was waiting and just some different things that happened, I felt like God spoke to me. So now I know not everybody here is 60-ish, but I know some of you are 60-ish. And next month I'm going to be very 60-ish. You know, a couple years ago, I was a much better hiker than Justin. And the mantle's been passed. He's surpassed me. I'm not as fast as I once was. Maybe I don't have quite as much endurance. I mean, I still hiked a lot, but I was never the last guy in line before. Now I am. And so I had to start thinking, well, if I'm going to hike through my 60s, there's some things I'm going to have to adapt to. So maybe some of us are going to have to adapt to the fact that as we get older, there's certain things that we won't be able to do. But as the guys came down, they were so grateful because they thought it would take them 10 minutes. That's what someone told them, and it took an hour. And they knew that I was sitting there for an hour, but I met all these people coming by, and there's no strangers to me, so I had a good time. When they got down, they thanked me. They said, thank you for sacrificing. I said, it wasn't a sacrifice. It was a joy that you guys were able to get to the top, and I was praying that you would survive. How dangerous was it? This one couple came down, younger couple, and I could tell the girl she was kind of buzzed, kind of like she really accomplished something. And I said, well, how was it? She goes, it was really fun. It was really fun in a, like you might die kind of way. And I said, yeah, that's why I that's why I did not go up there. That is not for me. Friends, this is sort of my 60-ish sort of message. Man, nothing brings me more joy to think that I might have something to do with getting some other people get higher than I've gotten in life. And I think that there's a lot of you, and you don't have to be 60-ish, whether it's your children or your grandchildren, or your friends or your nephews. And not just climbing waterfalls, but in life you want them to achieve, to get further than you. And I want to encourage a lot of people in this place today, because there's those of you have a lot of wisdom. There's a lot of wisdom in this room. Now, some of you that have the most of it probably don't even realize it. And others of you that start to think, you know, I think I got a little wisdom. But then you think, but nobody seems to want it, so I don't know how wise I am. I learned something a long time ago from a cowboy friend of mine. Because sometimes you feel like you have something to impart to people, but they don't want to hear it. See, this guy was a cowboy, but he was a singer, and he used to be in a bluegrass band. And he said in that bluegrass band, they had a mandolin player who would find the one guy in the crowd and play to him the whole time that if he wasn't listening. If he was talking, he'd play to that one guy. Well, I went with Dick one time, and no one was listening except a handful of friends that came, and that's when he told me this story. And he said, Paul, I learned a long time ago, sing to those who listen. Sing to those that are listening to you. So it may not be the people that you think, but over the course of time, you realize, I mean, these people value what I say. Do you ever notice that some people really listen to what you say and other people don't? And some of you are like, what did he just say? Anyway, not everybody listens. Sing to those who listen to you. So we had a chance. Give up, go home, pack it in. But instead, we went on to Estes Park, and we experienced that. So I've just got a few more pictures. I've got 114. I don't. Just a few. This is Black Canyon in the Gunnison. It was awesome. I never felt, all of us felt the same way. You can never capture it with a camera. Next. Just another day at Rocky Mountain National Park. Just mountains, sun, clouds, trees. Beautiful. Just another stroll in the park. Next picture. Another mountain lake, clouds, trees, mountains. Right? What does that feel like? Don't do it. Don't give in to that temptation. We had elk all over the place. It was awesome. Another lake. Another blue sky. We climbed up, was it Green or was that somewhere else? Deer Mountain, and then we were able to look down over Estes Park. And you'd have been proud of me. I was hiking at 8 o'clock yesterday morning. We were up there by 9:30, already gone up 3 miles. We went up a little bit higher. We were about 12,000 feet there. Just absolutely gorgeous. And this is a picture of me and my nephew at the end of the trip. I'm the one on the right. The name's the same. The name's the same. Okay, thank you for indulging me. I know a lot of you guys ask questions about things like that. Back to the message. Do you know one of the things that really encouraged me? My nephew Justin, who he's not an athlete, and now he's hiking stronger than I am. But last summer, and I wish Dave Glenn was here, because Dave Glenn started doing that 10,000 steps a day thing. And so then I got a new phone, and it counts steps. And so last summer, I was counting my steps with Justin. Well, since then, he's gotten a step counter. And in the last year, he's been walking, doing 10,000 steps per day. That's why he's a better hiker than me now, okay? And a lot of times, you pass things along to people. You impart something to them, and you never find out that you did. And so that was really encouraging. But I want to encourage you this morning. I believe that many of you have passed along good traits and qualities to other people, and you never find out that they picked them up from you, because often people don't say that. It's very satisfying when you find those things out. I wanted to share something from a book that I've been reading. It should be over here somewhere. It has to be here somewhere. It's up here. It was right underneath there. So Adam Hamilton said he was talking to, well, I'll just read it. He said he interviewed the head of the psychology department at Kansas City University. We spoke about contemporary insights in the field of psychology and their connection with Christian spirituality. She noted that the field of positive psychology has found that for many people who struggle with depression, serving others can be one of the most effective forms of therapy. Think about that. A person is down. I remember probably the worst depression I went through was in 1984, from about January till about June. Then I went on a mission trip. Cured the depression. She said, so many of the things researchers in my field are discovering are the things I learned as a child in Sunday school. She's the head of a psychology department at a university in Kansas City. I like that. Think about it. When you're down, go do something for somebody else. You know, I mentioned that thing before about feelings, that we don't have to follow feelings. Feelings are important, don't get me wrong. But you go do something good and then see how you feel afterwards. You'll feel great. That's just the way that it works. Often it's outside of our comfort zone. I want to share a couple of verses from the book of Revelation, first from Revelation 20, and then from Revelation 22. I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it. The dead and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done. Now again, if you think I'm emphasizing that we're saved by what we do, we're not. But we receive rewards according to what we do. And then at that point, we have the choice to give the glory back to God. But let's read just ahead in the final chapter of the book of Revelation. Jesus says, "Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me. And I will give to each person according to what they have done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." Very interesting emphasis on the things that we do. I want to challenge you this week to do acts of kindness, things that wouldn't be expected of you. I'll share a few examples in a minute, but I want to walk through this Ephesians passage that could not make this more crystal clear. In Ephesians chapter 2, passage that we're very familiar with, I'm going to read it this morning from the New Living Translation. "God saved you by his grace, not by what you do. He saved you when you believed. It was you grabbed a hold of the grace of God when you accepted what he did, you believed it, and you trusted in it. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so no one can boast about it." There should never be an arrogant Christ follower. There can't be any place for pride when we deal with the cross of Jesus, because we all cross over the same bridge to get to God. Verse 10, "For we are God's masterpiece." I want you to think about that for just a moment. We are God's masterpiece. That means George Prescott is God's masterpiece. Only his wife laughed. Donna Matoka is God's masterpiece. Paul Jepsen. But God's masterpiece. But look what it says. We are God's masterpiece. I know some of us are like, West Hills? God's masterpiece? West Hills Basilica? Are you serious? That's what God says. You're my masterpiece. We're his artwork. And he's created us anew in Christ. He did this thing. He brought us to life. I loved what that rapper said in the Explore God series. He said, "My problem wasn't that I was bad. My problem was I was dead. I was dead to God. God brought me back to life, to true life." So he makes us alive in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. See, Jesus sees all this stuff that needs to be done on earth. It's like the people that say, "Well, what about this problem in the world and what about that one? What's God done about it?" He's put it on your heart to do something about it, so do it. Well, what difference can one person make? You ever see that poster with like 1,000 people saying, "What difference can one person make?" You know, if we just each play our part, if we do the things that the Holy Spirit is prompting us to do. The book of Hebrews talks about live works and dead works. Dead works are just things that we do because they're religious. Live works are the things that the Holy Spirit actually wants us to do that day. That we're just moving in flow with him. You know, every part of our body is important. So people asked me, somebody said to me, like, "Well, how are you feeling after hiking?" I'm moving much better today than I was yesterday. Because on Friday, I set a personal record for steps for myself. And I took a screenshot of it because I knew that when I flew home, my app will take away the last hour of the day when I come back to the central time zone. So I didn't want it to take away those last 3,000 steps. It did when I flew home. But I know what my record is. And my legs know what the record is. But, you know, it doesn't matter in the body of Christ. You might say, "Well, I'm not that important." So I got these new shoes after I stopped using the other ones. And they were good. They just had one problem, my middle toe. My middle toe on both feet turned black and blue. Like, and I could just say, "Well, you're just the middle toes. It's no big deal." And it only hurt when I walked. I mean, when I wasn't walking, it didn't hurt. I got some Band-Aids. I got over it. Folks, you might just think, well, I'm just the middle toe in the body of Jesus, okay? Play your role. It's really important to the rest of the body, and we don't want you to be black and blue. We don't want you to be hurting. We want you to do your thing. So we have a chance to live out Jesus' dream. When I think of receiving God's Spirit into my life, it's like he's giving me his heart, his DNA. And then I can do what he would do if he were here, but he's not physically here. So I want to share just a few examples. Just some are kind of things that any of us could do. And so yestterday morning in Estes Park, before we left, I'm kind of part of a team helping with a reunion because our high school class turned 60 this year. And so I was texting these friends. My one friend, Lori, said she's going to the Cubs game. Now, I know this can be divisive in any church to talk about baseball in the city of Chicago, but I think this is a good story. And I texted her this morning. I said, I'm going to share your story. She loved it. What she said was, it's hard for my husband for me to don a Cubs jersey and go to Wrigley. She said, but I pull for both teams. She didn't used to, though. Apparently, she was a Sox fan. And she said, I didn't get on the bandwagon because they were winning. Her son had a friend who was dying of cancer. And Anthony Rizzo went day after day to sit with that young man. She said, that's why I'm a Cubs fan. And I said, you know, I've always liked Anthony Rizzo. I like him more now. She also said that Jason Hayward wore a bracelet thing for him. You know, I realize that for a lot of us, if we went to just sit with a stranger at the hospital, they might be like, who are you and what are you doing here? We're not Anthony Rizzo, not a hockey star. But we've got people in our world that we can make a difference. We can make a difference by just showing kindness, by just being there. The second day of the trip, we actually landed a cabin for $106. Three bedrooms, living room, full kitchen, nice views, and right in the path of where we needed to be. The next morning, I like to leave a tip for the people that clean. It used to be, I think, not as expected, but I know it is now because they always leave an envelope. That's always a clue when they leave the envelope. So I asked the other guys if they had any change. So I just had a 20, and I was kind of thinking of a 10, and I just had a 20. And so it was either 20 or nothing. I'm like, I don't want to be that guy, so I'll leave the 20. Next morning, I get up in Montrose, Colorado, and I'm out reading my Adam Hamilton book on the Gospel of John. And he goes through some different practical things you could do. He said, how about being extra generous with the cleaning crew at a hotel? I'm like, what? I was generous. I wasn't begrudgingly giving that. I gave it because I wanted to. I could not believe it the next morning. I mean, I've read a lot of books. I've read all of Max Lucado's books. He's never said, leave extra for the cleaning person. So I tried to be generous the rest of the way. And then yesterday, the shuttle from the rental car place to the airport. And if the driver gets out and takes my suitcase, and I'm at the age where it's like, I'd like you to take my suitcase. I'd be happy to give you $2 for my suitcase. But he got out. His name was Solomon. And he was throwing suitcases. I mean, he's doing a great job. And then I looked in my wallet. I've only got a 10. I don't normally give a 10. And I'm like, what did you read in the book? Oh, that's right. Yeah. So it's like, there you go, Solomon. You know, and I hope those little things bless people. And no, they might not say, well, he did it because he's a follower of Jesus. But you know, little things like that, they help make your day. They turn some things around. I was talking to somebody recently. They were at they're leaving a Jewel grocery store. They're in the parking lot and somebody rolls down their window. And they said they were hungry. And it's like most Americans now, they didn't have any cash. I said, don't need cash if you could buy me and my daughter some food. I think they were living in their car. And so they said, okay, I can do that. And so they went back into Jewel. They said, you know, one of those roast chickens? And they said, really like the fried chicken. There's that fried chicken. I preached on fried chicken this summer. Went in, got some fried chicken. They wanted some macaroni salad and got some water, some different things. Came out and then realized that the macaroni salad was still at the self-checkout. So went back in, and when she came out, most of the fried chicken was gone. You know, sometimes we feel like we're being taken advantage of. But what Jesus wants for us is that we can be in that position where we just take the 7 minutes and we change somebody's day. And do we solve the problem of hunger? No. But if each person, see, this is what I really believe, that if each of us, if we're the body of Christ, and we are, and if we would just do our job, then the whole thing works. And we accomplish what Jesus wants for us to accomplish out of gratitude. It's out of gratitude for what he's done for us. So it doesn't matter whether it's big or small, just do it. I close with a story that I've told for many, many years. Read it in Philip Yancey's book many years ago. In World War II, England, of course, suffered bombing, incredible bombing for a country that won a war. They were devastated. And outside of London, somewhere in the countryside, there was a church in a small village. And that church had a statue of Jesus out front, like that. And it says, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." But in the course of the war, in the course of the bombing, the statue was nearly destroyed. So they got a committee of people back together, and they said, no, we can fix this. And they did. They fixed the entire statue. But the hands were obliterated, and they had no idea what to do. It just didn't look right. They had a committee meeting, and one person came up with an idea. They said, we leave the statue as it is. We change the inscription to simply say, Jesus has no hands in this world but yours. Let's pray. Father, help us to understand how you see the people around us. Help us to know that we literally are your hands, your voice, your touch. That there are so many things that you have for us to do. Sometimes it's as small as leaving a couple extra bucks and a tip. Sometimes it's going back into the grocery store that we just left. Sometimes it's visiting somebody whose life is coming to an end. Or there's a myriad of different things. I can't even come up with the list. But Lord, you have special things planned for each of your sons and daughters. There's some people in this place today that need to know that they are part of your masterpiece. No one has ever told them that they're a masterpiece, but that's what you say. Lord, let us shine for you. Raise us above the mosquitoes and the mud and the sand dunes, and help us to press on and get to the glory that you desire for us. Father, for those that are wrestling with depression, I pray that they would see today that the best path out might simply be to serve and to give. Bless your people, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing.